Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hi, welcome to the show. We're going to get started here in just a second. But first, if you're looking for the most convenient way to listen to this podcast, The Bob Seska Show, I have a solution for you. The Patreon app for your smartphone is the best way to stay up to date with new shows, and it's the best way to listen, too. Here's why. Every time there's a new episode, you're going to get an automatic alert on your phone, notifications for the free shows on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and notifications for the Friday after party and the postmortem shows, too. You can listen at home or in the car with a couple of swipes, and you can join our community of listeners in the comments under each episode. Subscribe for as little as $1 a month at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Thank you for supporting this completely independent podcast, and now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I pulled a tooth the size of a shot glass out of the rectal of a boat out there, and it was the tooth of a great white.
It was Ben Gardner's boat. It was all chewed up. I helped tow it in. You should have seen him.
Where is that tooth? Did you see it, Brody?
No, I didn't see it. He dropped it.
I had an accident. On the way in.
And what did you say the name of this shark is?
It's a Carcharodon carcharias. It's a great white.
But you don't have the tooth. Look, we depend on the summer people here for our very lives.
You are not going
and
to have a summer
those
unless
beaches,
you deal with this
finished.
Problem. We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark. I mean, we're going to have to tell the Coast Guard.
Mr. Vaughn, you have to contact the shark
we're
research
We're going to have to put extra
panel.
Deputies on because
you have to
the world is going to come
harbor.
In here.
We
gotta
I don't think one of
you are familiar with our problems.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass. Now, wait a second. There are two ways to deal with this problem.
Hey,
you're either going to kill this animal or you're going to cut off its food supply.
Larry, we have to close the beaches.
Bob Seska.
Eat shit, Bob.
Hey, what? Wait a second. Not a very nice way to start the show, John. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, July 20, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, my name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 182 of the Biden-Harris administration, 476 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And here he is. It's Buzz.
When you say Buzz, Burbank.
Oh, man.
You've said it all.
I almost triggered the Goth Ninja's sound. That would have been a major, major faux pas here to start the show with. Hi.
Roberto. Hello. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. He's Bob. Mm-hmm. I'm Buzz. And we're here to remove the Israeli spyware from your phone. Simply
yes,
downloading the show does it. It's amazing.
It's yeah.
I see the pandemic had a nice, 2 week summer vacation?
Yeah, that's why we played the Jaws thing at the top. We're back to that again.
I know. It's already back, and I'm just now getting its postcard. And the COVID situation, meanwhile, is serious everywhere. But in Tokyo, it's so serious.
Yep.
Better than winning an Olympic gold medal this year. is getting kicked out for smoking pot. That's the big prize.
Yes, it is.
Eyes, red eyes on the prize. And speaking of sports, Saturday's Nationals-Padres game had to be suspended because of gunfire just outside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is the first time baseball has ever been interrupted by our national pastime.
Perfect.
Ouch.
Perfect.
Ouch.
Joke. That's a perfect Ouch. Joke. Perfect, perfect, that's perfect the, joke. Okay.
It's your bitter bite of the week, if you don't count this one. In response to reports that Subway's tuna salad contains no tuna DNA,
Jesus.
Subway has responded by saying, well, that's to be expected since our tuna is denatured.
Uh-huh.
I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better knowing that any nature that existed in the tuna before has now been completely removed.
Smells like dirty dish rags.
Eat fresh.
Yeah.
You know, Bob, people, and this happens more than I can tell you, people stop me on the street and they say, Buzz, where do you get the jokes? Three words. Bazooka Joe Comics.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, you know, those of you who are born in the 40s know exactly what that means. All right, here's a classic from Rocky Mountain Mike.
Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me. I think they're okay. If they don't show me test results, then I just walk away. They can't cough and they can't sneeze if they've been on a flight.
That's right.
'Cause the boy with the surgical mask is always Mr. Right.
A virus.
You know that we are living in a bacterial world, and I am not wishing to hurl.
Man, oh, yeah. That's timely. Mary. That's a good one to bring back.
Oh, Mary. Mary in Ann Arbor. Thank you, Mary. Every time I say the name Mary, I got to say it as Jimmy Stewart. Mary. Mary.
I'll lasso the moon for you, Mary.
Before we dig into Jeff Bezos and his flying penis, let's talk about something that I noticed on your Facebook page, Mr. Burbank. Yes. Something quite amazing and touching and special, historic. You received, in honor of your late dad, Donald Elston, you received a proclamation signed by the president. When I first saw that, I was like, oh, is this some sort of website that you can go to and you can put your name in and it makes a fake proclamation from the president? But no, this was real. How did you end up doing this?
Well, I just have to, you know, with the help of the funeral home, quite frankly.
Yeah.
They made note of the fact that he was a veteran. He got some military honors at his funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I received his folded flag from the coffin and... and there were uniformed people there who I thank Air Force, which was his branch of the service. I thanked them for their service and for being there that day. And he got the VFW put a medallion on his grave marker here recently. And then this thing arrived in the mail, and because the funeral home had applied for it, asked for it, and as a matter of routine, and these things are in fact mass-produced, but if you look closely at the photograph, you can see that that's real gold emboss at the top.
Yeah.
And, there is that typo where they transposed the middle two.
And now you're going right to the punchline. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they misspelled my dad's first name, which was Donald, which was the name of the previous president. So But it is personally signed, and, he signs stacks of this stuff while he's thinking about something else. But it is his signature, and it's signed J.R. Biden Jr., President of the United States. And, it came with that misspelling. A replacement is on its way. I will keep and honor both of these forever.
Yeah.
This is an amazing thing. But, and I'm sorry if I spoiled your version of the story, but... This came uncreased and unfolded and suitable for framing.
First name was misspelled. It says Donald. Yeah.
Yeah.
The A and the N were transposed. On
or Donald or something like that.
But it was easy for you to go back and get a corrected version. See, that to me, I would see this and I would go, oh my God, I can't even, the bureaucracy that would have to be overcome to get a revised copy.
It could take a couple of months, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, my dad passed in May, and this is now late July. So, it will take a little time, but, you know, I'm not going anywhere that I know of. So that'll be fine. I'll be excited, and I think it'll probably be, you know, I think I'll probably frame it with the mistake underneath the corrected version.
That's right.
So it'll always be kept.
Right, and the mistake version is more valuable now on the open market. Yeah. So when you eventually go to sell it on eBay, you can get more money for the mistake version. Isn't
I'm sure this is not the first time this has happened. like your dad's name in this case would have been printed by a machine and somebody just transpose the letters. It's a typo. Simply a typo. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the upside of having a name like Bob. It's very easy to get that one right.
You can reverse it. You can reverse,
reverse it.
It's hard to... Yeah.
Right. And that, you know what? That brings up an interesting side note here.
Yes?
I got into some ridiculous fight with someone on Twitter. And you know what? In hindsight...
No, that never happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I felt bad about it after the fact because she seemed... seemed like she was really hurt by some trolls who were attacking her or something like that. And so I felt really bad about that. But at the same time, I was like, I was explaining because we were talking about anonymity on Twitter and whether it's okay to use an anonymous handle on social media. And without getting into my view on all of that, because that's going to open a whole other can of worms I don't feel like dealing with right now. But I mentioned that because my dad and I share the same name.
Right.
There was an Alex Jones disciple, also a Sandy Hook truther, who showed up one time at my dad's front door thinking that it was my front door. And he had all kinds of additional evidence of the Sandy Hook conspiracy and all of that crap. He was the guy who was stealing the memorial signs in Newtown that had been put up in honor of the victims of Sandy Hook. And again, because I have the same name as my dad, this guy tried to track me down and ended up landing at my dad's place, of all places. And so that scared the hell out of me. Just speaking of us having the same name, whenever that comes up, I go right to that incident. You know, I would much rather have the guy come and knock at my actual door than my dad's door, for God's sake.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm thinking of the various things that must have gone and have since gone through your dad's head about that.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple of ways that can go.
Well, the good news is that between me and my dad and our late friend Ches Pazienza, who wrote about the incident in the Daily Banter,
I still have the story. Yeah.
You can still read about it. I think you can still find it on Google. Well, that guy ended up going to jail. Not necessarily because he was harassing my dad, but because he was stealing all of those Sandy Hook signs and vandalizing the place. So that was great news, a great result, great end game of the entire sordid story. But that was years and years ago. It was like 2013, 2014, I think, somewhere in there. And God, that was terrifying. Okay, so let's see here.
Speaking of terrifying.
Yeah, well, this is...
Bring out your dad. Bring out your dad.
That's right. We got to get to COVID here in a second. But meantime, Jeff Bezos, everyone's talking about it right now on social media. Jeff Bezos went into space today in a suborbital flight aboard his flying dick. And I don't know if it was intentional to make the... make the spacecraft look like a dick, but it looked like a dick. It looked like a dick and balls. Yeah.
You have a bald-headed man who has created a rocket in his own image. You decide.
Well, the ship is called Blue Origin, and there's nothing sexual about that.
I was wondering if it was going to be straight or curved.
Yes, and if he had a curved rocket ship, you know, his doctor can help him out with that. I've seen all kinds of ads on MSNBC for Peyronie's disease.
The ship is, in fact, straight, but it did, the flight did end like 35, 40 seconds sooner than it was supposed to have.
Yeah.
So it was straight, but it didn't last. He couldn't keep it up very long, frankly.
That's right. Well, look, I mean, whenever there's an historic space flight, you know me, Buzz, I got to go listen to the audio coming from Mission Control because that's some of the most exciting coverage. You're not going to get that from a reporter, someone on the ground watching the space flight. You want to get the inside scoop from Mission Control.
Right.
Well, I got a little bit of that audio, a little bit of the mission control audio. Yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah, this is kind of an exclusive.
Colonel, you better take a look at this radar. What is it, son? I don't know, sir, but it looks like a giant dick.
Yeah.
Take a look out of starboard. Oh, my God, it looks like a huge...
Pecker!
Oh, yeah.
Wait, that's not a woodpecker. It looks like...
Mission control.
Quiet! We have reports of an unidentified flying object. It is a long, smooth shaft, complete with two balls.
What is that? That looks just like an enormous
wang. Pay attention.
I was distracted by that enormous flying...
Willie.
Yeah.
What's that?
Six.
Well, it looks like a giant...
Penis. The male reproductive organ, also known as tallywhacker, schlong, or...
Wiener? Any of you kids want another wiener?
Dad, what's that?
I don't know, son, but it's got great big...
Nuts! Nuts! Salty nuts!
Still going.
You want some? Lord almighty.
That looks just like my husband's.
One-eyed monster. Step right up and see the one-eyed monster.
One-eyed
hey,
monster.
What's that? It looks like a big...
Woody. Woody Harrelson? Can I have your autograph?
Sure, no problem. Oh, my Lord. Look at that thing.
So big.
I've seen bigger. That's just a little prick.
See, amazing. Your kids are going to be asking you of where you were. When Jeff Bezos launched a penis into space.
We're 6 years old.
That's right. And I was absolutely going to let that one play out in its entirety. No way I was going to bail from that one.
And see, I'm all enlightened and everything. And I you know, I know better than to laugh. And yet, but that was cleverly done, I think. As sixth grade humor goes, at least it was well executed.
Yes, well, I mean, what other level humor are going to apply to Jeff Bezos' penis vehicle? Oh, my God. Okay, well, in all seriousness, we have a situation here when it comes to COVID. And I don't know what to make of all of this, Buzz. You're going to have to help me out with all. We had some conversations a couple of days ago via text message about, you know, our current state of the nation. Was it yesterday? Okay.
It was yesterday. I know it seems longer as your memory tries to suppress it. But
you know, and this one threw me for a loop. I got this news on Saturday, the same time everyone else got the news, that these six vaccinated Texas Democrats.
Fully vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah. Pfizer vaccines all around. Mm-hmm. They ended up testing positive for COVID, and the Delta variant. And the problem is that now I feel like, geez, we're vulnerable, but should I? Was this something that was exceedingly rare, or is this something we should actually be concerned about? I'm really trying to grapple with this.
I think it's something we should actually be concerned about. What is it? What does it mean for those six people? Let's start with that. Let's start small. What it means for those six people is they may or may not get, they likely won't get any symptoms at all. That's the great thing about this. They certainly won't be going to the hospital, and they certainly won't be dying. And it's all because they got the vaccines. What they got was the Delta variant, which is 50% more contagious than the original and more virulent. It's got a higher virus level, higher viral load in it. It's a very potent form. And what it could leave any of those six people with are the same long-term effects that they might experience. Heart, brain, or lungs, three pretty important organs in your body.
I would say so.
That can endure damage from the Delta variant of the COVID virus. 83% of the new cases are among people who were not vaccinated. 99% of the people in hospitals or dying have not been vaccinated. Somebody suggested today that we should be constantly posting two numbers for everybody to see. One is the number of people who died today unvaccinated, and the number of people who died today vaccinated.
Yeah.
And a score, a daily score of something like 743-2, I think would help convey the message. You know, certainly that's what this person proposed, that it is way more dangerous. It's up 700%. It's up. It's tripled in the last 3 weeks. It's doubled in the last week, the number of infections around the country. I've heard either 48 or 50 states in which cases are on the rise. And in Florida, where I am right now, how do I feel about going out? Well, let me put it this way. Florida has 5.5% of the nation's population and 20% of the new COVID cases. As far as I'm concerned, when I heard about those Texas Democrats coming down or being at least contracting the virus in D.C., I said to myself and to my wife, that's it. We're in lockdown again. This house, this house is now back in lockdown. The pandemic is back on. And at the same time, I'm seeing ads on TV saying, now that everything's opened up again, get out and enjoy. You know, and we're sending the wrong messages at exactly the wrong time. We have a very dangerous situation now. And as if that weren't enough, I mean, I was venting to Bob yesterday privately about my own fears and concerns. You know, I'm usually the great optimist. The numbers are not good at all. And now, as if the Delta variant weren't enough, the Lambda virus, we're down to the L in the Greek alphabet, to the Lambda virus.
Yeah.
And we're down to Lambda anyway. Not that I claim to understand that alphabet, but we've moved on to the Lambda variant, which has already been detected here in the U.S. I don't mean to – what was it Joe Biden said so well? It was, I'm not saying this to alarm you, but I'm saying you should be alarmed. The monkey bee virus. And, you know, I'm going to be – this is sad because
– the monkey, monkey talks.
When not used in a racist way, monkey has been a universally funny word. It's got a K in it. And comedians have always known that words with a K sound in it, the K sound, are funny words.
Yeah.
Monkey. Monkey. And the image, it makes us laugh. It makes everybody laugh. Monkey's always been funny. This is going to wreck it for everybody.
Always.
The monkey bee virus has killed a Chinese veterinarian. So it's the first time a human's been infected and or killed by the monkey bee virus. Meanwhile, a guy who flew from Nigeria to a hospital, to Dallas, is now hospitalized with monkey pox.
Nice.
This isn't the only virus out there, and this one's continuing to mutate because we still have too much of the population that isn't vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I'm delivering to our friends this week a much grimmer message than I was delivering last week, saying if you're vaccinated, you're fine. Well, you're fine in the sense that you're not going to the hospital and you're not going to die.
Yeah.
We don't know what the long-term effects of that infection might be, even if you have no symptoms at the time of contraction. It's time to mask, social distance, wash your hands. Don't go out unless necessary. This is just me talking. But this is my policy. Now, I'm shrinking back in after two weeks vacation for the virus, as I said in the monologue. It's over, as far as I'm concerned. It was a short break. It was nice while it lasted. I was telling people at the time, because I could sort of see this coming, enjoy it while it lasts. Well, when I heard about those Texas Democrats being infected, I just said to myself, that's it, it's over.
The thing that I'm grappling with, though, is the difference between the number of people who have gotten COVID who are unvaccinated versus the number of people who are vaccinated, where you were talking about just a few seconds ago with regard to the adjoining statistics. And it seems like the vaccinated infection rate is minuscule compared to the unvaccinated infection rate.
Oh, indeed.
And so the concern is, are we, and this is the thing that I'm always grappling with, because on one hand, my common sense is going, okay, well, we got to go back to being safe again and doing all those things. But on the other hand, I'm going, are the odds really stacked against us? I mean, are the odds showing that if we don't take the proper precautions, are we then opening ourselves up to getting this Delta variant? I'm wondering about the odds, and I'm not saying that makes any difference to me necessarily.
The odds depend on how safe you are. For example, as a vaccinated person, you can be in a closed room with other fully vaccinated people, and nobody has to wear a mask or social distance.
Right.
If you are in a closed space or a close space with people who are not vaccinated, you definitely should wear a mask, and you'd hope they would as well, and definitely social distance. And when you walk through a crowd or a mall or whatever it is you do, an outdoor street fair, as I did recently, Avoid tighter clusters of people. I'm not talking about just avoid shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm talking anytime you see a group of too many people too close together. Outdoors is safer, but not completely safe, especially under those conditions.
Right. So it's fully dependent. The chances of picking it up if you're vaccinated are dependent on how much risk you take, how many chances
what
you take.
Well, because it is so contagious, what we've learned is even the vaccinated can pick up the virus.
Yes.
They won't get sick. They won't get, usually, don't get sick from it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost never get hospitalized and virtually never die from it because of the vaccine.
That's right.
That has saved them, has prepared their body for that, at least partly for that infection. But again, I worry about the, what I read something also in the research for this that... apparently, you could still, just as with the original virus, you could still have these long-term effects on the heart, the lungs, and the brain, even if you never had any, if no symptom at all from it. These things can still happen because the virus got into you and it damages these organs.
Yeah, and that's my biggest concern. My biggest, because I feel like, and I'm not bragging when I say this, I have a fairly robust...
Yes, you are.
I'm really trying not to, but I have a fairly robust immune system. I very seldom get sick, and that doesn't, I'm not using that as an excuse by any means, but I feel like if I get it, my symptoms at the very worst will be relatively mild, but I am deeply concerned about the long-term side effects. Dementia, as we talked about on last week's Tuesday show. We talked about all other kinds of negative effects that it'll have on the body in the long run, and that's what scares the hell out of me. That's the thing, the unknown. It's the question mark here.
It's still new.
Yeah, and then what kind of long-term side effects do the variants present? I mean, that doesn't even take into consideration
they appear to be the same as the original. Like I said, what's different about this is its contagion level and its viral load.
Yeah.
In those ways, it's no more risky than the original. It's a symptom. Its effects are no different than the original. It's just better at getting into you, and it's a little bit. How do I say it's stronger without saying it makes you sicker? Because it doesn't make you sicker, but it is a more robust. Virus at that point. So it's just, it's a little bit tougher to fight. And if you do pick up the virus, again, even with no symptoms, as with the original, you could pass it on to others. So you want to think about the risks that you're taking on their behalf as well.
Yeah. Well, and what they need to do is come up with some sort of alternative name for the powerful variants. We're the Delta variant. Now we're all the way down to the Lambda variant. Like just, the super COVID or something like that.
Let's just call them all Republican variants. They're all
That's right. Fox News variants. I like that one too.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, and this kind of leads into what I'm about to play from Tucker Carlson here, because the fact that some vaccinated people are getting this is also fueling Fox News's talking points, specifically Tucker Carlson's talking points. And he's basically saying that, well, this isn't just a virus of the unvaccinated. Now this is a virus of the vaccinated, in his ridiculous condescending tone of voice. And so this is fueling that. And I'm not saying what he's saying is accurate or true. It's not the case at all. This is the problem is 100% with the unvaccinated, because the unvaccinated are COVID factories. They are variant factories. They are creating new and stronger variants of this already powerful virus. And that's the truth behind all of this. So I set that up as the preface to what I'm about to play. And I decided, you know what? I went to the pet store the other day, masked. I wore a mask.
Good for you.
And I picked myself up a tiny Tucker. Remember, we used to play Tiny Trump all the time. And I kept Tiny Trump in a little cigar box with some cedar chips in the closet.
So this was a rescue?
Yes. I rescued a tiny Tucker. So I got a... I got a tiny Tucker here, so you won't have to listen to his stupid, stupid voice. Here's Tiny Tucker talking about how people continue to lie about the vaccine.
We're not saying there's no benefit to the vaccine. There may well be profound benefits to the vaccine. Our mind is open and has been from the first day. We never encourage anyone to take or not to take the vaccine.
Okay, first of all, yes, he did encourage people to not take the vaccine.
Yes, he did.
Second of all, who is we and our? He's talking about plural pronouns here. He's referring to himself, I guess, as we and our.
And Fox News.
Interesting. Well, it could be Fox News, but I don't think he speaks for all of Fox News. In fact, I think Fox News wants to walk back some of this stuff, and Tucker is kind of defying all of that. But he's referring to himself in the third person plural. So I guess Tucker has his own special pronouns, so he can feel free to shut the fuck up about everyone else's pronouns.
He's using the royal we.
That's exactly right.
We are not amused.
Yeah, yeah. So here's more Tiny Tucker.
Obviously, we're not doctors. But we know lying when we see it, and you just saw it. To say again, in unison, and they're all saying it, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, is simply untrue. That's a lie.
No, that is a lie. What Tucker just said is the lie. This is absolutely, as I said before, absolutely a virus of the unvaccinated. That's
absolutely
the reason we are still in this right now is because of the unvaccinated. The reason we cannot shake this and we cannot get back to a sense of normalcy in this country is because of the unvaccinated people. And before they were unvaccinated people, they were shirkers and refuseniks running around without masks, going to pool parties and beach parties and all the rest of it, being irresponsible and making it awful for everyone, irrespective of whether we were responsible with our time.
And a percentage of the previously known as reluctant, a percentage of them have become rock-hard refuseniks. They absolutely will not budge at this point.
Right. And the other thing, I'm going to get to the other thing here. We'll get back to Tiny Tucker here.
There's a massive discrepancy between that political talking point, which is exactly what it is. Thank you, Rochelle Walensky. Thank you, President Biden. And what the data in a bunch of different countries are showing. Someone needs to explain that. Tell us the truth. People can handle it.
Okay, so what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that because vaccinated people are getting it in minuscule numbers compared to the unvaccinated, that it's now a problem for everybody. So, and my concern is that people look at the vaccinated people getting COVID and they will go, well, why should I bother getting vaccinated if I'm going to get it anyway?
It doesn't work. Vaccine doesn't work.
Yeah, clearly. Exactly.
To them.
And that's one of my concerns. And I feel like they're going to spin this however the hell they want to spin it. Obviously, Tucker is spinning his own yarns about this, making up his own lies about what is actually happening with the science and with the vaccine and so on. But they're taking this and they're going to turn whatever information, new information comes out, new statistics come out. They're going to take that and they're going to turn it into whatever they want, whatever suits their agenda on this network. And I can't figure out what the fuck the agenda is. Hurry up and die, audience. I guess that's the agenda.
Well, it's been interesting because last night Sean Hannity came out very strongly for getting vaccinated.
Interesting.
And it's been interesting on social media today watching the speculation as to what this means. Some people think the legal department has stepped in and said, hey, we've been threatened with lawsuits holding us responsible for the deaths of people for preaching this misinformation. Maybe it's time to turn that around. Some people have said maybe Fox News has realized, as you just said, that they're killing their own viewers. I liked Kimberly's. You may remember Kimberly from the other room of the house.
Yes,
I like what Kimberly posted today when she said, and this is true because Hannity was previously anti-vaccine for COVID. And now he's reversed his position. Kimberly pointed this out, not just for him, but for the entire network, which is telling its audience, don't get vaccinated, get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated, get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. They're saying they're covering their ass and saying just making sure that they've made everybody either unhappy or happy.
Right.
So it's really hard to say, but they've been huge contributors to this and should be held responsible for their role in all of this. We know that the vaccine has saved nearly 300,000 lives so far.
Yep.
But we continue. We also know that, so many, 608,000 Americans now have died of it. Another 8,000 just since we rolled over 600. I see things getting worse, not better. That's not usually me.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at these numbers and I'm seeing, the percentages of increase. The situation in Florida, you folks do what you want, But I live in a state that has 5% of the population and 20% of the new cases. I'm not going out.
That's right.
I'm going to be very, very careful going forward.
Yeah, and
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it as much as anybody. Mm-hmm. I hate it as much as the anti-maskers do.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. I can't do it anymore. I want to get out. And yet, you know, and I was telling Bob yesterday as I was whining to him, I was a good little soldier through that first round. And
me too.
I was as hopeful as the rest of us when it appeared that we were out of it or on our way out of it.
Me too.
I've seen it posted also that if we had kept up the same vaccination rate that we had in the spring, if we'd kept it up through the summer, we'd have herd immunity now.
Yeah,
it would have been over now, except for these people.
And I think my thing mainly comes down to I don't want to be caught with my pants down. And I almost added again in there, but there is no again because I didn't get caught with my pants down last time. I didn't get it last time. I wasn't being a shirker last time. We were all taking the necessary precautions, of course. But the thing is that we need to be prepared for what's going to come down the pike. And I feel like getting a jump on this. And plus, you know, there's just the added aspect, the principle of it, that we've spent all this time doing the right thing, and to suddenly get it at this point, when we've been through the masking, we've been through the isolating in place, we've been through the vaccinations, we've been through coming up on these variants here, we've survived a couple of the variants already, and then suddenly to get it now would be such a pisser.
Never mind getting it, just having to shut our lives down again because of these a-holes. That's angering. That's just plain angering.
Yeah. And I cannot live with the idea. I'll be able to live with the fact that I will get it, but I cannot live with the fact that I could potentially give it to someone else. I could give it to Kimberly in the office across the hall. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, immune system is a factor. But when it comes to this particular virus, it really isn't. It is a factor in your overall health and the strength of your overall system. But your immune system has never, at least until you got the vaccine, your immune system had never seen the likes of this virus before. It's been around. Your body had just never seen it before.
Yeah.
The vaccine introduced protein into your body. It doesn't change DNA. It for what is it like 47 like 6 weeks it attaches itself to your DNA and teaches it how to fight that virus, and then that knowledge remains in the DNA's memory, and so you're protected in that way. But you can't, for those who still rely on my immune system is very strong, if you're not vaccinated, your body has never been introduced to this particular virus before. And so I don't care how strong your immune system may be, that may mean nothing to a body that has never met this virus or the likes of it before.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, because while I was saying earlier that I have a robust immune system, that wasn't to say that I'm immune from this. It's just to say that maybe chances are I might get a more mild version of it, I guess. That's what I was kind of thinking. But, you know, it doesn't even matter, because the ultimate point was, it's those long-term side effects that we still need to be deeply concerned about, because we have no idea what's around the corner, what's coming down Main Street.
I mean, we have an idea, but we haven't had a true long term yet. But it's been around just long enough for us to know that it can do a permanent mental damage. I mean, I told you some frightening sort of psychotic stories, psychotic episodes that people had after and even in cases of no symptoms of COVID-19. And it's frightening. It's driven a number of people mad. Other people, it's damaged or stopped their hearts. In other people, it's done lung damage. So we have an idea of what sort of damage. And like I said, those heart, brain, and lungs, man, it doesn't get any more important than those when it comes to organs in your body.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, very scary disease. Delta variant does the same thing. It's just better at it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't need to say this, but I will say it anyway. There's nothing that's more frightening to me. There's no form of death that is more terrifying than suffocating to death. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what happened. The people who have died from COVID, that's what happened to them. They suffocated to death. They were basically smothered in their own fluids. That's exactly what it means to die from COVID. Obviously, some people probably died from other reasons exacerbated by the fact that they were being suffocated to death. So there's lots of things that...
And most of the, a lot of the people dying now are 40 years old or younger.
Yeah, yeah.
This is no longer an old person's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to see it turn up more in children. Again, children are very strong. And their bodies are at a stage where that's their job is to collect viruses and learn to fight them. And so they have a much better survival handle it much better. But still, do we really want to infect the kids and have them take it on? And, you know, schools are opening up and the CDC says no mask. Thankfully, the American Pediatric Association, I believe, came out yesterday and said, no, everybody should be wearing masks. We'll see what happens. It would not surprise me at all if schools shut down again this year. And when I think about the education devastation of last year, to have another year like that, America's economy and industry would never recover.
And on top of everything else, if you are unvaccinated and you can get a vaccination and you haven't gotten one, fuck you.
I'm done with those people.
Here's why I'm saying it, Buzz. Is because I am almost as sick of talking about it as I am of the actual existence of the
pandemic. Like Trump.
Yeah.
Just like Trump.
That's exactly. I'm just like Trump.
I put a sign. I think I told you I put a sign on my door yesterday that said no entry without mask if unvaccinated. I'm done with these people. And that's for contractors. That's for my neighbors. That's for everybody. I'm done with these people.
And I'm so sick of talking about COVID and the precautions and what's next and the variants and the vaccinations versus unvaccinated, the masks, the rules and all the rest of it. I'm so goddamn sick and tired of it.
I know.
And what burns me up more than anything else is the fact that we could have been done with this a year ago. Year ago, right about now, if Donald Trump had done the right things, we here in the United States could have been finished, done, through, no more COVID, done with it, back to normal lives in some degree or form. But no, and here we are a year and a half into it, and we're still talking about it as if it's still March, April, May of 2020.
At least democracy's safe.
Well, there's that too.
There's that.
Well, we're going to talk about more things.
Where's my fun jingle? Because that's what I am today. I'm just fun.
Yes, indeed. Holy shit. Well, we got to talk about Tokyo here in just a second too. But, you know, if you ever catch yourself thinking when looking in the mirror, I wish my under eye bags would just go away. You're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women until now. Introducing the new GenuCell serum with plant stem cell technology from the folks at Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote, quote, I've been using GenuCell for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared, and they haven't come back. I love the product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids, unquote. With its instant effects, Chamonix says you'll see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. They guarantee it. Order now and get 50% off all GenuCell packages for the summer. Go to lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. That's lovegenucell, that's GENUCEL.com/Stephanie. Link in the description. lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Great Luna Blue. That's the name of the band, not the singer. Luna Blue. The song is called O'Toole's. This is from their Scratch Tracks and Rough Cuts album, lunablueband.com, to support Luna Blue. That's B-L-U, no E at the end.
Nice.
Leave off the last E for excellent. Okay, bobseska.com/music to submit your stuff to the show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel badly. I feel badly because I'm usually the Fozzie Bear to your Kermit, and I feel like I've let you down today.
No, you have not let me down. Don't be ridiculous.
And I have saved something here. I was out to dinner, and it was safe. There were only people in the restaurant. And I just outside the restaurant, I noticed I sort of taped onto a window of a neighboring business.
Yeah.
Was a little sticker about the size of a postage stamp that says Infowars.com.
Ah!
And so they've got this subversive little ad campaign where their minions are going around putting these little tiny stickers in places they hope people will see them.
Yeah.
I have removed it. And I have it on my computer here. I'm going to send it to you.
Buzz Burbank, why are you trying to cancel Infowars.com by taking that sticker off that building?
That's right, a-hole. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's a good policy. You see an Infowars sticker, rip that fucker right
off.
Remove it.
And then use hand sanitizer because you know they haven't been vaccinated.
That's exactly right. Make sure to be careful of the COVID that's on the InfoWars sticker. Absolutely. Well, you know, talking about COVID, we really got in some dark territory there, but I want to add something. Yeah. And this is something I mentioned to you via text message. I said it to John Fugelsang on his show last week, which is that there is lots of reason for hope in this country. And
listen to you. Listen, you know what? I'd like to think I had something to do with this. But no,
I mean,
share with us as you did with me because you made me feel better yesterday, in spite of the numbers. Yeah. But yeah, please do this for everybody.
Well, on one hand, I'm this guy.
Stop the hammering.
Right, that's me staring at the news every day. It just
stop the hammering.
I can't help but to quote Lawrence O'Donnell every goddamn day. Every time I go to Twitter, it's like every tweet that comes down, like, oh, holy shit.
Stop the hammering.
But you know, here's the thing. On the other hand, I do see things like this, and we've all seen this kind of a story come down, certainly over the past year, but if not the past 4 years, 4 or 5 years, is sort of the thing that Rachel Maddow talks about quite a bit. She'll always do a segment, maybe once every couple of weeks, featuring some activist group that you never hear about on Twitter,
right. True.
And they're out there, and they're doing incredible work.
They are.
And
they are.
That's the thing to give us all a little bit of hope here, because there are good people doing really, really great work out there.
There are a lot of groups and a lot of people, a lot of individuals. There are good people out there.
Yeah.
This world is filled mostly with good people. And by mostly, I mean perhaps a slim majority, but still the majority of people out there, I think, are good. And a lot of them are, as you just said, doing good. And we still have the sunrises. We still have our friends and family, the people we love that we're close to. And there's no reason, certainly, if they're safe and you're safe, that we can't all still be together and do things together. And there is joy to be had. It's all is not lost. It feels hopeless. And I think I was expressing some hopelessness to Bob yesterday. Mm-hmm. But he pointed this out, and I think it's absolutely true.
Well, and I live with someone whose nickname is. His nickname given to her by her own mother is the Crack of Doom. So, look, I understand hopelessness because, you know, I've been there. Kimberly's been there. You've been there, Buzz. And we know this feeling. But at the same time, I think sometimes we get wrapped up into our social media worlds where we're constantly seeing all of the shitty things all the time. And I think that becomes the prism through which we're experiencing our nation.
That's true. And again, I would say look to the people you love and the look at the good that's being done. But like where I'm coming from isn't necessarily social media fueled, I don't think. I think my concern about COVID is based on the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
My concern about climate change is based on the numbers.
Yeah.
And real world events. My concern about democracy is well documented in video.
Yeah.
So these are not things that I you know, picked up on social media, and these are realities that, and we have, like I was telling Bob yesterday, kind of four walls closing in on us at once: climate, fascism, the pandemic, and gun violence, which continues, violence in general,
but
particularly gun violence. So we have these monumental things to deal with, and it really feels like it. It felt like to me yesterday that they were all closing in at once.
Yeah, of course.
And Bob is saying, and he's right, the way to push back all of those walls is with the love that you have for other people and that they have for others, and that it shows in some of the very, very, very good works that are being done out there.
Yeah, and I still believe in the pendulum theory. You know, and I think it's been very easy, especially over the past 5 years. And I've been there too, where I feel like, oh shit, the pendulum is stuck. The pendulum is stuck all the way over here in this.
That's
ridiculous.
What I worry.
Yeah. It's just stuck in Trumpism territory, and it's never going to swing back.
Well, but I feel closer to Kimberly now that I've shared that level of darkness.
Yes. The two of you together, the cracks o' doom.
Well, and I'm not usually like that, but had we been together yesterday, you know, nobody would want to have anything to do with us.
Yeah, that would have been great. We could have had a party. We could have had a pity party. A big, giant, oh, shit, we're all fucked party.
Yeah, there probably would have been Kool-Aid.
Yeah, absolutely. So adding insult into injury here, it looks like there's a possibility that the Tokyo Olympics might be canceled.
I know. The organizing committee chief. I hope it is.
Toshiro Muto, who's the organizing committee chief, won't rule out the possibility of having to cancel the games altogether.
Thank you.
Because of the COVID. COVID cases have continued to rise in Tokyo and at the games. In the last 24 hours, 10 more cases of COVID-19 have been reported at the games, bringing the total number of infections to 68 since July 1st when athletes and officials began arriving. These are elite athletes getting this. And that's, I mean, I'm not saying all of them.
Over two dozen coaches, athletes, and officials in the village have tested positive. And that was at last report. Probably more now.
This is going to be something really, really dark. I think they need to have some sort of Olympics, because maybe postponing last year was like, well, okay. But this year, I think this could set off a chain reaction of just, oh, shit, this is going to get really, really dark.
I see a lot of things about the Olympics I don't like. I don't like the fact that it's an NBC franchise. I don't like that. I don't like the corporate sponsorship. I don't like the hypocritical uniform rules for athletes. There's a lot I don't like about the Olympics. I've seen a number of people on social media this year calling it, let's just end it. Let's just, you know what? Let's just stop it. I don't disagree with that. I certainly don't think they should hold it this year. I don't know about the future. Mm. Maybe future Olympics should be like the original, where it's just nude men. And let's just take it back to square one and start fresh, because it's just, you know, I know Toyota won't want to sponsor that. That would be a great thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Nude except for the masks. They'd all be wearing masks, right?
Just those blue masks and nothing else.
I don't think that they're going to cancel it. But, you know, again, my heart goes out to some of the athletes who have a very narrow window.
Oh, I know. They work so hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's, and I think about going back to the pandemic, if I may, for a moment. I was looking forward to my 50th high school reunion. I've never gone to a high school reunion in my entire life. Not mine, not anybody's. Yeah. I have no idea how these things work. But the 50th is coming up, and I'm retired, so I'm free to go. I'm not tied down to working. Mm. And at my dad's funeral, some old friends from many years ago showed up, surprised the hell out of me, and it was so good to see them. And I'm so looking forward to seeing them again and talking to them again. And because of the pandemic, I don't know if I can go back.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel badly. And then I think about, well, what am I whining about? A lot of kids have been cheated out of a year of school, and they may get cheated out of yet another, and they have people missed graduations and all that. So, you know, maybe my complaint is not so big, but still I'm pissed off. And the same with these athletes who have prepared so long and so hard. You know, it's very, isolationist, I suppose, but maybe just a U.S. Olympics for those American athletes who've worked so hard.
There are some athletes who are professional athletes, and they're making a fine living doing whatever their chosen sport in some other venue. But at the same time, you got a lot of amateur athletes who have been doing this since they were teeny tiny children. And the sacrifice and the training and the dieting and the lack of social life and so on, that builds up. Oh, and also stack on top of that, having to work an outside job so you can support your athleticism, to
And if you're a woman, possible sexual molestation, at least in the past.
Yeah, yeah. So there's all of these things. Plus, you add on top of it, the guys who are, you know, making the sacrifice by using performance-enhancing drugs, which, you know, there is, you know, it's hard to have sympathy for the cheaters, but at the same time, they're taking a huge risk in preparation for this event. And then suddenly to have the rug ripped out from under them might not be the best thing in the world. And of course, it was last year and it is this year. And once again, if something happens with this year's Summer Olympics, which are technically last year's Summer Olympics, they're still calling it Tokyo 2020. When that happens, or if it happens, the people to blame are the unvaccinated people. That's the problem. That's the centerpiece of all of this.
And the U.S. did not require its athletes to be vaccinated. Many of them are.
Yeah.
But the U.S. did not really said, no, go ahead, go to Tokyo. You don't need a shot. We're not going to make you get a shot.
Right, right.
And some of the athletes didn't want to get a shot because it would make them, they were just certain it would make them tired for a day or two.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm unusual. I had no side effects from either shot. Not tired, I had, like I said, a tiny sore spot on my arm that I didn't think about unless I touched it.
Yeah, yeah.
And other than that, so these are supposedly well-trained, tough athletes who said, I didn't want to be tired for a day. I have no patience for that anymore.
Well, they were also Tour de France riders this year who didn't get vaccinated because, we're elite athletes and we don't know what this vaccine is going to do to our athleticism, our form, et cetera.
And I know I have us back on the pandemic again, but just had that outdoor music festival about 2-3 weeks ago in Denmark, I think it was.
Yeah.
And 1,000 people and growing have tested positive from that outdoor festival. People were close together, and obviously many of them were not vaccinated.
Ah, shit. It's never going to end. And it's, Fox News at the centerpiece of all of this. I have no idea what the solution is. The fact that Fox News is pumping so much disinformation out there. And it's not just Fox News. We usually mention Fox News as being the centerpiece. But when I say Fox News, I mean Fox News and all of its various copycats.
OAN,
Newsmax. Yeah. And then we always overlook the power, the might of the AM radio dial and the kind of programming that happens there around the clock, every day of the week, every month of the year, constantly bombarding people, not just while they're actively listening, but a lot of people, older people, will turn on that overnight show, that whatever the horrible right-wing overnight show is, they'll turn that on and have that on while they're sleeping. So they're absorbing this horseshit while they're asleep, too.
It's true. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. Do not overlook the influence of AM talk radio. That has been patient zero in all of this, and it continues to be.
It surprises me, first of all, that AM radio has survived when FM is barely surviving, and from all appearances.
Yeah.
I would also say that, as you pointed out, the audience for AM radio is very old. Don't you go dying on us. I don't know what they're going to do when that older audience dies off, which it's on its way to.
Yeah, well, we keep making more old people. So that's the thing with aging.
Hey.
Well, I didn't say you.
I can, as I told you yesterday, I can still perform amazing feats of derring do. So.
Okay, back with more show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's bubblegenius.com.
Bob Seska.
These guys always turn it up to 11. Mm-hmm. Flying Jacob.
It's a cool stormy
song called Try from their Renew album. Yeah, again, this is Flying Jacob, one of our faves here on the show. FlyingJacob.bandcamp.com. Yeah.
That's nice. I like that a lot.
Amazing. Turn it up loud.
Yeah.
11. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. By the way, I was during the break, I was going to take a picture of this InfoWars sticker and send it to you. But I opened my phone and I saw a number of developments, including this is from CNN, a White House official and a senior aide to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, both fully vaccinated, have tested positive for COVID-19.
God damn it.
So we have a White House official and an aide to Nancy Pelosi testing positive, even though they are fully vaccinated.
Jesus.
God damn it!
Yeah.
I know. And now we've shut down all the testing programs. We're shutting down the mass vaccination centers. Mm-hmm. The timing, the way we're doing this, it couldn't be worse. It could not be worse. I'm appalled.
Well, that actually is a nice segue into what I was going to mention in the previous segment, which is that I had a reply to Nate Silver. You know, those of you who have a history with this show, been listening to this show for the last 10 years or so, you know that I like Nate Silver. I have admired Nate Silver's ability to pump all the election numbers into an algorithm and come up with a forecast. And, you know, because I like math. I mean, I'm not good at math, which is why I also like Nate Silver, because he is good at math. But he tweeted out something today, and he's kind of been doing this throughout the pandemic. Little bits and pieces like this. Little bits of denialism and, oh, you people are overreacting.
Huh.
He did that today. 2 hours ago, he tweeted, "The every breakthrough infection is big news cycle is getting," he did every exclamation mark, breakthrough exclamation mark, infection exclamation mark, is big news exclamation mark. "News cycle is getting pretty annoying and is probably going to give vaccinated people a lot of unnecessary anxiety about Delta while also providing kindling to the anti-vaxxers."
That will do. The latter, I think.
Yeah.
But the former, it should do. I mean, I think we should, like I said, there's reason to be concerned.
Well, he's basically saying that covering the breakthrough infections for vaccinated people is making everyone panic, and the press should stop doing it. That's his point.
I don't know if it's making everyone panic, and I don't recommend panic, but I recommend certainly doing what I did, which is rethink all this and decide which direction I'm going to go moving forward. But I do think it contributes, as you pointed out as an example earlier, that it is giving fuel to anti-vaxxers saying, well, see, it doesn't even work. It doesn't protect you against the virus, which it does, as we've already explained.
Yeah.
But this is like what I was talking about last week, Bob, when I said the newscast, the evening newscast, are leading with the one or two cases of illness that may result from a vaccination, and then doing the real story after that.
Yeah.
And likewise now, and I think Nate's right about this, they're leading with vaccinated people getting infected and still burying the lead because they're going with this new sensationalism, which is, as with the cases of people who reacted badly to the vaccine, it blows it out of proportion. We're talking about a very, very small percentage of people then. In terms of reacting to the vaccine, we're talking about a small percentage now in terms of people getting the Delta variant in spite of being vaccinated. And what we're doing, and what I think Nate Silver's criticizing, and I would agree with him here, is we're amplifying those things when that's not the real story. The real story is that unvaccinated people are not going to the hospital. Unvaccinated people are going to the hospital and dying, and vaccinated people are not. And that to me is, and in growing numbers. And I to me, those are the things that we should be focusing on. So in that way, I think I agree with him.
Well, I feel like the coverage of the breakthrough infections is important insofar as
it is.
They're saying, yeah, and I totally agree with your point that they should lead with the unvaccinated infections and then the vaccinated infections. That should be the priority. However, I do think that there's something to be said for reporting on the vaccinated infections. Because what this does is this gives us a sense in terms of where we're headed with all of this. I mean, my concern, and this is how I responded to Nate Silver. I said, vaccinated people are concerned because we were hoping to get back to some degree of normal, but the anti-vaxxers are breeding new variants, including Delta, Lambda, Epsilon, etc., delaying normalcy until who knows when. That's the point of these reports and the anxiety. The anxiety is not necessarily, oh shit, I'm going to get it now. The anxiety is, and this is just coming from me. I don't know if this is anecdotal. I don't know if this is a trend. I don't know what. But the fact of the matter is coming from me. My anxiety stems from the fact that when I got vaccinated, when I got that second jab, I was like, okay, I can go back to some level of normal. I can go back to the gym. I can start doing some of the things that I was doing before the pandemic. And now I feel like that rug has been ripped out from under us. We don't have that sense of not victory, but some sense of, well, we're getting back to normal now. That's being taken away because the unvaccinated are producing these variants which are now infecting the vaccinated. To simplify it the way Nate Silver has is a mistake. It doesn't necessarily define why vaccinated people are having a bit of anxiety over this stuff, over the Delta and the breakthrough.
Typical of me, I agree with both of you. And that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay.
Because and I think what it says is the story's bigger, you know, that there's together the two of you told the whole story.
Yeah, yeah.
Individually, he did not.
And I feel like what he said here at the end, while also providing kindling to anti-vaxxers, anything you say, whatever we say about the COVID one way or another, or the vaccines or masks or whatever, they're going to use that as kindling to back up
I mean, they were going to have something.
Yes, because they are being disingenuous. They are lying to themselves and to the people around them. They're lying to their audiences over what all of this means. And that and what Nate is saying is, well, this is just and we should just accept that they're just going to make this shit up. And I refuse. I know that it's happening, but I refuse to accept that as being a legitimate talking point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Does that make any sense? I don't know.
Yeah, it does. And speaking of that, and this may give some insight to those talking points.
Yeah.
I saw a fascinating clip of Eric Swalwell, California Congressman Eric Swalwell, talking to the fellas on the Midas Touch podcast. And he was saying to them, he was emphasizing to them that it's an act. He compared it to the WWE. He said, if you ran into Matt Gaetz or Ted Cruz or any of these guys down at, you know, Pier 16, that you would think, well, this is really a nice guy. He said that he had a colleague that he's worked with on a number of issues. They've gone to dinner together. And the next day, the colleague was bashing Eric Swalwell on Fox News. Eric passes him the next day on the Capitol steps, and the guy goes, hey, I found another great place for us to go to dinner. and he said the same about Ted Cruz. He said Ted Cruz came into the congressional bathroom and said, hey, this is during the impeachment. Ted Cruz came in and said to Eric Swalwell, you're doing a great job out there. Because Ted Cruz thinks that Eric Swalwell is performing an act just in the same way that Ted Cruz is performing an act, which he simply does. And Swalwell used the metal chair over the head analogy to say that this is what their audience wants. And so they are giving their audience what it wants. And that's the motivation. They know perfectly well what they're doing. It's the WWE. It's an act. Mm. And that is what's behind disinformation about the election, disinformation about the virus, the disinformation about the vaccine and all that, the climate, everything else.
Yeah.
It's they're performing a WWE act for the internet, and America loves the WWE. So it's there is an audience for that sort of, shock jock behavior.
Well, it makes it all worse, doesn't it? The fact that there's a lot of fakery going on here. There's a lot of performance art happening. And, you know, we've been talking about this for quite some time now. Years and years ago, I remember Keith Olbermann remarking on his show about how Sean Hannity's full of shit, that Sean Hannity doesn't believe half the crap that he's spewing every night.
We knew that about Limbaugh and some of the broadcasters. This is sort of the first we're hearing it about our elected leaders.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, so much performance, so much horseshit. I have no doubt in my mind that Ted Cruz has conservative values. I'm not doubting where he is on the ideological spectrum. What I doubt is the bullshit, the extreme bullshit part.
And he does, too.
Yeah, yeah. And he's so bad at it, too. It makes it so obvious. Ted Cruz is just so performancy. He's like Mike Pence. You can just see by the way they're acting that it's all performance. They're bad actors is what
some would argue that WWE performers are not great actors, but the audience and America eat it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. Oh, yeah. You know what? Speaking of actors and shitty, shitty actors who've made quite a living portraying themselves as something that they're not really. Bill O'Reilly is now engaging in cancel culture. The Republicans, especially the Red Hats, they love cancel culture. Don't pay any attention to what they were saying at CPAC. These people are engaged in cancel culture, probably more so than anyone on the left.
Oh, absolutely.
I can name half a dozen lawsuits right off the top of my head. Red Hats suing liberals because liberals were mean to them on the internet. Right, Devin Nunes? Jesus. Well, now Bill O'Reilly is threatening to sue, I think, a Politico reporter who wrote about his tour with Donald Trump and their piss poor ticket sales.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly is trying to silence someone who reported on him, and that is cancel culture.
It is indeed, and he won't succeed, thankfully, but this is their MO. This is their mode of operation, and it always has been, to accuse you of the thing they are doing.
That's right.
They may have learned that from Hitler. I don't know where they learned it.
Learned it from Pee Wee Herman. It's the I know you are, but what am I gambit.
Exactly. And that's... If we find out a fact about Republican behavior and we speak that fact publicly, they turn around and accuse us of doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When, in fact, that's not the case.
Well, a spokesperson for the Bill O'Reilly Donald Trump tour bragged that they've already sold $5 million in tickets, which is probably a lie. That's probably made up. It's inflated. Buzz, you know as well, back in the day, working in radio, how many morning guys went around and claimed that they had bigger ratings than they actually had? I would say 99% of every morning show has
And sometimes their genitals, but
what are you saying about me there, Mr. Burbank?
This is what they do, is try to turn the tables, and sadly, a lot of America, too much of America, has still not seen through the act.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's easy to reach $5 million in ticket sales, by the way, given the price of the tickets. Well, most seats are priced between $100 and $300 to go and watch this shit show.
I wonder what they'll tell the IRS they took in.
That's a good question.
That's the real proof right there.
$5. They're going to go with five. Netted $5 in the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, the VIP meet and greet package goes for more than $8,500. $8,500 to meet and greet Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump at a pre-show event and a 45-minute reception.
Trump's the big, if you really want to hurt O'Reilly's feelings, Trump's the draw. Nobody who buys a ticket to that is going to see Bill O'Reilly. They're going to see Donald Trump.
Yeah. And you know what? I think what the entire event is Bill O'Reilly interviewing Donald Trump.
Probably. I think
they just, they just sit across from each other in little comfy chairs, and Donald Trump does his little dick tent thing with his hands and. You know, Jesus, you know, he said the other day at, I don't know, he was doing a rally or something like that, Donald Trump. Oh, no, it was at CPAC. He said, he was talking about polls, and he said, if the poll is bad, I say it's fake.
Right.
If it's good, I say that's the most accurate poll perhaps ever. And all the Red Hats got a big laugh out of that.
Oh, yeah, and they love to operate that way. They're all for that.
Yeah. So they're full of shit. Everything they say is full of shit. Oh, God. Okay, well, lots more to still talk about. I didn't think we were going to spend so much time talking about COVID, but it's important stuff. I think the things that we're grappling with right now, Buzz, I think everybody is grappling with. You know, how seriously do we take the variants? What do we do now? What's next for all of this?
Right.
I think we answered some of those questions.
And then there's that whole business of trying to save democracy. The struggle continues.
That's exactly right. Well, we're going to talk about Joe Manchin here and the filibuster in just a second. And there's news on Donald Trump's tax fraud scheme. We're going to get to that, too. And that's all going to happen on our postmortem show. No more show. If you're listening for free right now on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify,
you're out of here.
You're done. But you want to come back to our Patreon page and get the rest of the show, because there's more show to come. Another 20 minutes or so. We call it the postmortem show. All it costs is $5 a month, and you get two postmortem shows after the every week, one after the Tuesday show, one after the Thursday show. And quite honestly, it's where the real fun happens. You know what I mean? FOMO. Right. FOMO, FOMO, FOMO. Don't have FOMO.
Help us get to that Trump O'Reilly 5 million. That's really where we're headed.
That's exactly right. By the way, just once again, another promotion for Thursday's show. And I know our Tuesday audience is... No, don't worry. You can come back Thursday. Thursday, Mary Trump will be joining us. Honorary third goth ninja will be joining us here on the show.
Oh, that's great.
We're looking forward to that. The triumphant return of Mary Trump, our favoritest Trump in the whole world. I still can't believe it. I still can't believe she comes on our show. Just amazing stuff. Okay, take care, folks. See you on the Postmortem Show on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. Take care. Bye-bye.